Right, my name is Gary Huttai.
Gary Huttai.
And before I give you my lecture on this book, which is this book, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. For 6 years I was in the Royal Air Force. As a police officer. And then I went on to have a 24-year career in the police, in the British police. The last 19 years as a detective. I worked on all manner of inquiries. I worked on many different inquiries, including murder, manslaughter, rape, etc. I was also involved in the London bombings of 2005 terrorist inquiry. In the capacity of a specialist interviewer. I was an advanced police interviewer of suspects and witnesses.
Say you again?
Prisoners and also witnesses. My journey into ufology begins when I was 16 years old. In a small town in Lincolnshire, England, called Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe.
Where I was born. Cutting, and basically with a then girlfriend. One evening in August. It works well. We get laughs from the audience. Right, okay, so I was walking with my then girlfriend, and short version is we saw a bright white light, no distinct shape.
Sixty-degree
angle. Moving right to left very slowly. We were walking along a footpath. As soon as the object went past us, all the electricity in the area behind its flight path cut out.
Went back.
We watched it curious. It went a little bit further. Second power grid failure behind the object. I had my bicycle with me. So I said to my girlfriend, get on the crossbar, of the bicycle, two people on the bicycle. I then rode her to her house, which was nearby. The house and area, total darkness. I then, on my own, rode my bike all the way back to my home, which was about 3/4 of a mile away. Close to my home, when I was near my home, there was a bend in the road to the left. And as I approached this bend in the road near my home,
Lotka.
I realized that the power was on beyond the ramp, beyond the bend. So if you can imagine, I went from darkness, complete darkness, reached the bend, power on, light. I remember looking over my right shoulder, and I managed to get ahead of the light.
Edelle.
In front of.
Meni niin kuin edelle. Meni edelle. Hän meni.
Siis tämä valo pallo.
Joo, pojoo sen edelle. Joo.
In front of the light.
Ja tosiaan tämä kyseinen kirkas luvu, niin hän oli sen luvun etupuolella.
I then went around two bends.
Kaksi mutkaa myöhemmin.
And left my bicycle outside my home.
Jätti tuon polkupyörän talossa ulkopuolella.
It's about 9 o'clock at night.
Noin kello 9 illalla.
I rush inside. My parents are having tea, as English people do. And I say, come outside. I think there's going to be a power cut.
What?
A power failure. I think there's going to be a power failure.
Sähköt pois.
Joo,
voimalinjan ongelma.
Niin, mä huomioin kyseessä voimalinjan ongelma.
Yes.
I'm on the joke. The light passed over my rooftop and I was in the garden.
Ja tosiaan niin tämä valopallo kulki sen talossa yli, hän oli sen talon edessä.
For some reason, I do this.
Jostain syystä hän nosti kättä mulle.
Like I'm answering a class in a question in the classroom.
Niin kuin oppilas kysyisi opettajalta.
In effect, I was making 90 degrees. I was making a 90 degree angle.
90 asteen kulmassa.
Niin joo, käsi oli 90 asteen kulmassa.
As soon as the light went beyond my arm, and therefore I was behind the light, entire area plunged into darkness.
Ja tosiaan, kun olin nostanut tämän käden ylös ja tämä kyseinen uho liikkuu edelleen eteenpäin, niin sehän oli silloin ukon takana ja tämä alue valaistui.
It was at that point that I realized that having gone from one geographical position where it was first seen to then my home, 3/4 mile away, that that light, whatever it was, had interacted with the power grid to turn the power off because I can't predict the power cuts.
Joo, että kun hän sitten huomasi, että nämä valot, mitkä alueella hävisi ja tuli uudestaan tämmöistä, niin ihan miten ihmisille reagoi tämän ufon liikkeisiin.
Ridiculous to think that I could predict the power cut.
Joo, että hän olisi itse aiheuttanut tämän ilmiön, niin on ihan tietysti järkytys.
Prior to this incident,
tätä tapahtumaa aikaisemmin,
I had no interest in UFOs at all.
En yhtään ollut kiinnostunut UFOista.
Ennen tätä.
Ennen tuota.
Afterwards, all I could do in 1976 when this happened.
Ja 1976 silloin kun tapahtui tämän jälkeen.
Was go to a second hand bookshop. Bookshop? Go to a bookshop.
Joo, mä menin tosiaan paikalliseen kirjamyymälään.
And look for books on UFOs.
Ja katso kaikki UFO-kirjat mitä siellä voisi olla.
And the first book that I got turned out to be a really important book. And it's called Aliens from Space. And it was written by Major Donald
Kehoe.
Now it turns out the Major Donald Kehoe is one of the key figures in American UFO history. He was military, and he had been given many very good sightings by pilots. He wrote 5 books. And those books are all deemed classics now. Now, of the many thousands of books that had already been written by 1976, what a coincidence it was for me. That the very first book that I should get turns out to be one of the most important people in the subject. And when I read the book, I came across a reference to 1965 New York blackout.
Joo, ja siinä oli mainittu New Yorkissa tämmöistä sähköpoistilanteesta vuotta 65.
And UFOs were believed to have triggered a big power failure on the eastern seaboard, and people were trapped in lifts and underground for about 8 hours.
Ja tuo kyseinen sähköjen poistilanne oli yhteydessä UFO-ilmiöön, ja erittäin paljon ihmisiä oli joutunut nalkkiin sen takia hisseihin ja silloin.
8 tuntia oli pois.
8 tuntia oli sähköjen pois.
Right, so straight away I got some kind of validation.
Ja heti siitä suoraan saattoi päätellä, että asiassa on perää.
That something that had happened to me had happened before to other people.
Ja tämä, mikä oli tapahtunut hänelle, on tapahtunut myöskin aikaisemmin.
From there I go on to a life journey.
Ja siitä eteenpäin alkoi elämänsä matka.
Where I joined the Royal Air Force. I get married. I have 2 children. And I did not become an active researcher, public researcher, doing what I'm doing now. Until January of 2002. Now, what brought me back into the subject?
Ja mikä toi hänet takaisin tähän samaan aihepiiriin.
It was about 1996. I went into a large bookstore in Leeds, where I was working, the city of Leeds.
Hän oli tosiaan menossa Leeds-kaupungissa tämmöiseen suureen kirjakauppaan.
And I came across a glossy magazine.
Hän näki tämmöisen hyvin kiiltävän pintaisen, mikä sitä on?
Lehti.
Called UFO Magazine.
UFO Magazine.
And that seemed to trigger and reawaken my interest.
Ja tosiaan tuo lehden näkeminen nosti uuden kiinnostuksen hänellä tähän asiaan.
Cutting, in English we would say, cutting a long story short.
Kun sanotaan vähän lyhennetyssä muodossa, niin
englanniksi. Niin kuin englanniksi sanotaan,
the short version. I decided to create a police database for UK British police officers to report UFO sightings.
Hän päätti silloin tehdä tämmöisen tietokannan englannin poliisivoimien tekemistä UFO-raporteista.
So I approached the editor of the magazine.
Hän otti yhteyttä tämän lehden toimittajan.
And said, would you allow me to write an article in your printed magazine? Now bear in mind, I'd never written anything to anybody at that time publicly. Now here's a coincidence that's strange. And basically, this company that printed the magazine could have been anywhere in Britain. Could have been anywhere. The business could have been located anywhere in Britain.
Se olisi voinut tapahtua missä tahansa Englannissa.
Niin, mikä olisi voinut tapahtua?
What
could have happened anywhere in England?
Right, the business, UFO magazine, where it was printed, was based in Leeds.
Niin se Leedsissä siis, se lehti tehtiin Leedsissä kaupungissa.
Okay.
It could have been Edinburgh.
Se olisi voinut olla Edinburgh.
It could have been in Scotland. It could have been in Leeds. It could have been in Wales. It could have been in Ireland.
You mean that where it could be have been printed?
Yes.
Yes, I mean. Eli tosiaan tämä kyseinen lehti ja sen kirjapaino oli Leedsissä, mutta periaatteessa missä tahansa muissa kaupungissa olisi voinut tapahtua tänään.
But it turned out that the magazine was printed in Leeds, in West Yorkshire.
Joo, tämä lehti joka tapauksessa printattiin Leedsissä.
And guess where I worked as a detective?
Ja arvaappa, missä hän oli töissä siihen aikaan.
Leeds, West
Yorkshire.
What are the odds of that? It was on my doorstep almost.
Joo, tosiaan tämä kyseinen kirjapaino oli hyvin lähellä hänen opiskelupaikkansa Leedsissä.
If it had been 300 miles away, things might have been different.
Jos tosiaan tuo kyseinen, missä hän näki lehden, olisi ollut 300 mailin päässä, niin olisi tilanne varmaan ollut erilainen.
But as a detective, I had a plain car, no markings. Unmarked police car. I drove my police car, unmarked, no badges, and drove to his office.
Joo, hän otti poliisiauto ja ajoi tähän Clintonin
kämpille. Only 11 miles away.
Ja se oli 11 mailin päässä, eli noin 16-17 kilometriä.
And I said, I like this idea, will you let me write an article? And he said, yes.
Joo, ja tosiaan hän sanoi, että minulla on tämä idea, että onko sinä hyväksytkö sinä artikkelin tästä, ja hän sanoi, että käy.
He said yes, because I was a detective.
Ja ehkäpä senkin takia, koska hän on poliisietsijä. Yes. No.
Too many people poke fun at the subject. Too many people make jokes about the subject.
Joo, eli tosiaan monet ihmiset tekee tuollaisia
piloja.
Hänellä on tämä poliisin tausta, niin sen takia tämä oli positiivinen tämä.
So when a detective goes into his office and says, I'm interested and want to do this, and hopefully I'm a credible person.
Joo, ja tosiaan näin poliisia, että siellä hän on toivottavasti tämmöinen uskottava henkilö.
He immediately said, yes, we do credit.
Ja niinpä tämä editori sanoi, että no ilman muuta käy.
And in January 2002, the magazine came out.
2002 tämä kyseinen lehti tuli
ulos. With the first article I've ever written in my life.
Ja se oli ensimmäinen artikkeli eläissä, mitä hän oli tehnyt.
Moving the story along.
Ja kun jatketaan tarinaa.
In 2010.
Vuonna 2010.
I was asked to go to Washington DC.
Häntä pyydettiin käymään Washington DC:ssä.
And there I was given an award for my work with police officers and UFOs.
Ja siellä hän sai palkinnon tässä työstä poliisiviranomaisten kanssa.
And from that point onwards, 2010 onwards.
Ja siitä ajasta lähtien.
2010.
I have been lecturing overseas ever since.
Hän on tosiaan tehnyt vuorintoja ulkomailla siitä lähtien 2010 lähtien.
And I'm pleased to announce that Finland is my 23rd country that I've lectured in. So it's a beautiful country, thank you.
Ja Suomi on nyt 23. ulkomaan, jossa hän pitää luenta.
Okay. Hopefully I'll see it when it's sunshine.
Toivottavasti hän on tehnyt aurinkin jossain vaiheessa.
We saw it briefly at lunchtime, it was very nice.
Joo, hän näki se äkiksen täällä oralla, että se on okei nätti.
Okay. Now, one of the cases that I had been interested in was what's called the Rendlesham Forest Incident.
Se on siis kaksoistukikohta, Naton ja siinä vieressä.
Okay, and basically I'm going to ask for some audience participation now. I'm going to ask you a series of questions.
Hän kysyy muutaman kysymyksen teiltä.
Muutama tärkeä kysymys.
Only three. But the first one is, please raise your hand in this room if you've had a UFO experience that you interpret as a UFO experience.
Ja tosiaan ne, jotka on mielestäni nähnyt UFO, niin saa nostaa käden.
Maybe a third of the people.
Noin kolmasosa.
Okay. And we're probably about 80 people, so maybe 25 to 30 people in the room. It's quite a lot. for something that is ridiculed by many people.
Joo, tosiaan tämä määrä, jotka on nähnyt UFO, niin se on aika suuri siihen nähden, että sitä valesti pidetään humpuukin.
Okay. How many people in this room, put your hand up if you answer the question, how many people in this room prior to today have heard of Britain's Red Lushan Forest incident?
Tämä moni ihminen on tosiaan kuullut sitä Forestista ennen tätä luentoa.
Maybe towards half. So again, 40 out of 80. Okay. So that's good. Sorry? We'll not do that again. So, last question. How many people prior to today have heard of me, Gary, at the time?
On kuullut hänestä, Kärissä.
About 10. Fine.
Että lukenut yhdessä.
Right, okay. Well, we're spreading the word now by giving this lecture. Okay.
Nyt levitetään sitten sanaa.
Okay. When I retired from the police,
kun hän jäi eläkkeelle poliisivoimista.
In 2013.
2013.
And I retired, I could have gone another 6 years.
Hän olisi kyllä voinut jatkaa vielä 6 vuotta.
But by then I wanted to devote my life to research.
Mutta hän halusi tosiaan käyttää tämän loppuaikansa tutkimukselle.
So I retired and created an online e-zine. An e-zine, a magazine, but not in print. E-zine, online. Magazine. So I became the editor of an online magazine. Over that time, people like Eric von Daniken have written for the magazine. Eric von
Daniken?
Eric von Daniken has written in my magazine.
Hän on siis kirjoittanut hänen taikka tämän lehteen.
Joo, nobody else has written but you.
No.
I'm saying these. I've had guest articles by some famous people.
Joo, monet kuuluisat henkilöt tai monet kuuluisat henkilöt ovat kirjoittaneet tämän Karin lehteen.
Okay, so Eric von Daniken, Richard Dolan. Let's see, Graham Hancock. Ajay Javad from Brazil, Roberto Pinotti from Italy. Very famous people have written in my magazine. In 2007, I first began my public research into Rendlesham Forest. I met Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, or retired Colonel Charles Holt, I met. For a TV documentary for the History Channel. And basically we got on well. And I asked him if he would collaborate with me on a fictional, based on the truth, screenplay, film screenplay.
Elikkä tällaista filmiä, siis että hän tekee sen hänen kanssaan tällaisen filmin.
Joo, hän oli tosiaan sopivaa, että hän tekee tällaisen filmirokumentin hänessä.
My first passion in life is the cinema.
Hänen ensimmäinen intoilu elämässä on elokuva.
And I've always thought that the Rendlesham Forest event will be made into a film one day.
Tämä on tosiaan haluttaja tästä Rennassan metsikön tapahtumasta filmi.
And I write amateur film screenplays. Amateur.
Ja hän kirjoittaa sen.
Hän teki käsiksi.
So when I asked him, he agreed.
Ja tämä Holt sanoi, että no tehän kyllä.
And I was very happy.
Yeah,
as you would be.
Toki.
So we began a collaboration period that lasted 7 years. Most of it was done just by email. Because he lived in the United States and I lived in England. We met on only two occasions. But we got on well. Initially. Over that 7 years as a former detective, I began to realize that he knew much more than he was telling me. And at the start, he told me he'd tell me everything. And eventually I ended the relationship when he started to ridicule some of the witnesses. Attacking some of the witnesses, verbally attacking some of the witnesses. He said that some of them were frauds, were con men. And I said, you must be careful what you say. I said, if you have the evidence to prove what you say, you must produce that evidence when you say it. He never produced the evidence. That was wrong and unprofessional. So I silently ended our marriage. Okay. So we now go into my presentation. I bet you're pleased now, aren't you, Russell? You're pleased that I'm going into my presentation.
I'm displeased all the time.
You're doing very well. I could not do finish. You're doing very well.
Just about. He will compliment me.
Yes, you make a fine double act. Yeah. Okay. In this presentation, because of the line by line translation, it's difficult. I appreciate that. So stay with me. The amount of pressure that I'm putting on SA is intolerable. But believe me, he's doing a very good job.
Thank you.
I will pay you later. Oh, you understand that? You know more English than you let on. Okay, so I'm going to begin with. Somebody talking at the back? Excuse me? Are you talking at the back? Are you going to do that again?
No.
Good. I've got your attention now. Thank you. Right, so. Many, not all, many but not all, of the major incidents that occur in Rendlesham Forest appear in a small geographical area. Okay? This is RAF Woodbridge. And as you can see, this is the runway. Okay. RAF Woodbridge was then a United States Air Force base.
Ja tosiaan USA-liikavoimat oli vuokranottoalueen Englannissa.
Now, if you followed this line north, about 4 miles away, was its twin base, another US Air Force base.
Twin.
Was it two twins?
Sen nimi on Twin. Kaksoistukikohta.
Two children, twins.
Niin kaksoistukikohta.
It was a twin US Air Force base, and the second one was called Bentwaters.
Bentwaters.
So Bentwaters and Woodbridge. Yeah, Bentwaters. And Bentwaters. And
jotko tapahtui siinä Bentwater tukikohdassa.
Lähdetään Bentwaterin tukikohdassa, missä tosiaan tämä tilanne alkoi.
But the vast majority of events over several days.
Ja suuri osa näistä tapahtumista muutaman päivän kuluessa.
Occurred in this relatively small area.
Tapahtui tällä suhteessa pienellä alueella.
Many of them took place just in this small area. You don't need to look. I'll describe. This is a field referred to as the farmer's field. It plays a major part in the story. This case did not become world famous.
Ja se tapahtui saanut maailman mainetta.
Until October the 2nd, 1983.
Ennen kuin 1983.
Almost 3 years after the events had occurred.
Suurin piirtein 3 vuotta sen jälkeen, kun oli nämä tapahtumat ollut täällä Englannissa.
Many local people worked on Bentwaters and Woodbridge. Many British English people have made friends with the Americans. Many of the Americans went to the businesses to buy food in the towns around the area. So there was a friendship developed between many Americans and English. And within a few days of the incident taking place in late December
1980,
local people were beginning to hear little bits and pieces of fragments of the story.
Nämä paikalliset englantilaiset alkoi kuulla näiden yhteydessuhteiden vuoksi pieniä palasia näistä tarinoista, mitä nyt tapahtui silloin joulukuussa.
Many of the British UFO researchers at the time
monet englantilaiset UFO-tutkijat siihen aikaan
began to ask questions of the base commander.
Alkoivat kysymään tulikohdan komentajalta.
They wrote letters, they tried telephoning. Saying, something's happened in the woods, can you tell us about it? And the US Air Force totally denied anything had happened. And it was not until this headline, UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official.
Eli tämän lehden otsikko, UFO laskeutui Suffolkissa.
That they finally admitted that there had been two incidents involving US security police officers.
Joo, ja silloin tosiaan täytyy tukikohdan myöntää, että on todella tapahtunut kaksi UFO-ilmiötä siellä alueella.
So for almost 3 years, they had strenuously denied every question.
Eli 3 vuoden ajan sen tapahtuman jälkeen kiellettiin kaikki täysin, mutta nyt oli pakko jotain valjassa.
Now, this book took 3 years to write and 5 years to re-research. Or re-research.
Ja tosiaan tämä hänen Darinkin tekemä kirja, niin siinä on 5 vuotta tutkia se tausta ja 3 vuotta kirjoittaa kirja.
And so, I'll tell you the story of why I did further research. I'd already been researching the case for many years. And I thought I knew a lot. However, when a documentary was going to be made, they asked me to be the lead researcher. So I said, if I'm going to put my name to this documentary, I'm going to have to be really thorough about what I say. And that documentary director came to me in 2017. So to set the scene, I will present my presentation in what happened before I got involved with the documentary, prior to
2017.
And what my reinvestigation from 2017 discovered.
Ja sen lisäksi, mitä hän vuoden 2017 jälkeen tässä uudessa tutkimuksessa oli sanoisin.
Now, the first thing to say about Rendlesham Forest is...
Ensimmäinen asia, mitä tässä Rendlesham Forest tapahtumaan liittyy.
In my opinion,
hänen käsityksessä mukaan,
is the most complicated UFO story in UFO history.
Joo, hänen mukaansa tämä Rendlesham tapaus on monimutkaisin tapaus UFO-historiassa.
Why?
Miksi?
Because it's not just one sighting.
Koska meillä ei ole vain yksi tapahtuma.
It's not just one night.
Ei ole yksi yö. Okay.
In reality, my research found 17 different UFO-related events during the last week of December 1980.
Joo, ja tosiaan niin kaiken kaikkiaan kysymys oli noin 17 eri tapauksista joulukuun viimeisen viikon aikana.
Over a 6 or 7 day period.
Noin 6 or 7 päivää.
With at least 3 or 4 consecutive nights of repeated UFO incursions.
Ja tommosia niin kuin peräkkäisiä yöitä näissä tapauksissa oli 3-4.
Most of the witnesses were US Air Force security police officers.
Useimmat näistä todistajista oli Yhdysvaltain tulikohdan turvallisuushenkilöstö.
That worked a shift pattern.
Nämä teki töitä vuorossa.
So multiple shifts rotating.
Elikkä niillä oli useampi vuoro.
Jotka toistuu.
Niin.
Literally over 100 US Air Force security police officers involved.
Elikkä yli 100 turvallisuushenkilöstöä oli tapaukseen liittynyt.
When we talk of UFO sightings,
kun puhutaan UFO-havainnoista,
they're usually just one event. I saw something.
Yleensä kysymys on silloin vain yhdessä tapauksesta.
It's one of them one day.
Yksi tapaus yhdessä päivässä.
This is extra because of so many days, so many people.
Tämä on aivan erilainen, koska tosiaan kyseessä on erittäin monta todistajaa useammalla tapauksella.
That is then complicated.
Siksi monimutkainen.
By the fact that it was a nuclear base.
Se oli
nuclear weapons were
the base. Ydintukikohta. Joo, joo. Siksi se on merkittävä. Ydintukikohta.
What's called tactical nuclear weapons were stored at Area Benmore.
Joo, Bentos tulikohdassa oli taktisia ydinaseita säilytettynä.
So 1980 is Cold War.
1980-luvulla oli kylmä sota käynnissä.
The Soviet Union is still in existence.
Ja Neuvostoliitto oli vielä olemassa.
And Area Bentwaters and Woodbridge
ja, nämä
were the top strike base in Britain. In the event of Soviet aggression coming through from the likes of Finland, Norway, etc. So strategically, this is a very, very important military base. This is. So does that help you understand the setting now of these events taking place? Okay, so now let's look at what we knew prior to my reinvestigation for the book. We knew that there had been at least 3 nights of consecutive activity. We knew that it was US Air Force Security Police were the principal witnesses. Some physical evidence had been recovered. That is an upturned plaster cast. Plaster of Paris. It was one of 3 plaster casts. If you think of a triangular platform like legs landing, pushing down into the ground, 3 depressions in the ground, as per this, 1, 2, 3.
Eli voisi laskeutua kolmolle laskeutumisen alustalle ja sittenkin nämä jäljet siihen maahan, mistä nämä luolivuotit on tehty.
These are not the depressions, these are just sticks to mark the area where the depression was, which was here.
Eli on tosi myöskin mittapiikkoja näyttämään sen koon siitä kolmivuotisesta alueesta, missä ne luolit painavat.
The dimensions were 3 meters by 3 meters exact. It was a perfect triangle of depressions. Photographs were taken of the 3 depressions. Photographs are physical. You can hold it up and say, this photograph, exhibit GH1, is one of the indentations. That's an exhibit. It's physical. You can touch it. As is the plaster cast. One of the witnesses, Sergeant Jim Peniston, drew these in his police pocketbook. These images of a craft, this triangular craft, this is his picture of it.
Se oli käynyt tosiaan tämä ensimmäinen silminnäkijä oli tehnyt muistirehtiönsä piirtänyt sen, että mikä hän oli nähnyt, minkälaisia kuvioita siinä aluksessa oli.
So it was 3 meters by 3 meters on the ground, and at its highest point it was 2 meters.
Eli sen aluksen korkeus oli noin 2 metriä, muuten se oli 3x3 kolmiossa.
It like had a raised section on the top. A raised area. So that's basically what we knew going into my reinvestigation. And we knew about 2 incidents because of the document that surfaced with the release of that big newspaper headline in October of 1983. Right. In when there was the big newspaper headline, UFO lands in Suffolk. In October 1983. They also produced for the very first time this document, which has become known as the Holt Memorandum.
Joka nimi on Holt Muistio.
And it was written by then Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, this man.
Ja tämä keräilutantti Holt oli, ehkä tuo kuvassa oleva mies oli kirjoittanut tämän dokumentin.
And the document is incredible.
Ja tämä dokumentti on uskomaton.
It was only one page.
Ja
and it was written to the British Ministry of Defence, or really the British government.
Ja se oli osoitettu Yhdysvaltain puolustusministeriölle.
To alert them to the fact that this had happened on British soil.
Ilmoittamaan tälle ministerille, että tämä tapahtuma on sattunut Englannin alueella.
According to Colonel Holt, when he retired, he was a colonel. According to Holt.
Ja Holt, joka sitten eläköityi kenraalina, oli kertonut.
He was told to write the memo.
Että hänelle on sanottu, että hän
the memorandum. And send it to the RAF liaison officer,
the
Royal Air Force liaison, who was called Squadron Leader Morland. So he writes that memorandum and sends it to Squadron Leader Morland, who is the Royal Air Force, the British Royal Air Force, to alert them to the fact that this incident had occurred on British soil.
Joo, ja tosiaan sille yhteyshenkilölle hän on käyttänyt tämän muistion ilmoittamaan siitä, että tämä on todella tapahtunut tällä Englannin maaperällä.
And he wrote that memo on the 13th of January 1981.
Ja tosiaan tämä muistio on kirjoittu 13.1.1981, kun tämä itse tapaus oli joulukuussa 80.
Literally just 2 weeks after the series of incidents. Okay. Now bear in mind that for almost 3 years, the US Air Force denied any kind of written material on this incident.
Ja tosiaan tuo muistio kahden viikon sen kun oli lähetetty, niin sitä huolimatta 3 vuotta sen tapahtuman jälkeen oli tiukka kielto, että mitä on tapahtunut siellä lentotilassa.
So they were lying about the existence of this document that had been written within 2 weeks of the
incident.
This document is one of the most famous UFO documents in history. Because in the first paragraph it admits that there is 3 meter by 3 meters. Somebody's got a good ringtone there. Next one. Right. It describes an object 3 meters by 3 meters in a clearing in the forest. Something structured of unknown origin.
Joo, ja ensimmäisessä kappaleessa hän esitti tosiaan todisteet ja jäljet siitä 3x3 metrin välein olevista kuopista siinä maaperässä aukealla.
There were only 3 paragraphs to the memorandum.
Tuossa muistossa oli vain 3 kappaletta.
The second paragraph goes into the dimensions of what was seen and the depressions that were found in the ground.
Tuossa joka kappaleessa oli tosiaan mainittu tämä etäisyys, että laskeutumispainoimien jäljellä.
But in my opinion, it's the last paragraph that is the most famous and key. Because it describes 2 nights after this initial landing of the 3 meter object. That UFOs were seen again in the forest. And this time, Colonel Holt took a team out into the forest to look for these lights. And whilst they're out in the forest, he and his colleagues see multiple UFOs. One of which came towards his team at high speed in the sky, came at high speed, and stopped above their heads at about 1,000 feet. And then it shone a beam down to the ground from 1,000 feet, near to their feet, for about 20 seconds. Then the beam went out and the craft went further away.
Ja sitten tuolla on vielä hävisi ja myöskin tämä esine lähti lipettiin.
But the key thing about this third paragraph that's made it world famous.
Ja se osa tästä kolmasta kappaleesta, missä minä olen kuullut.
Is the fact that it was written by Lieutenant Colonel Holt, and he admitted for somebody of his rank to being a witness to these lights, to no, UFOs.
Ja se, mikä tekee tämän kuulemaksi, että itse kenraali luottamatti sanoa, että hän itse oli nähnyt tämän, että se on totta. Ja tosiaan yhdessä on tukimokan varakomentaja.
You remember the field that I pointed out on that initial overhead photograph? Well, this sets the scene even better now. This is from an aerial drone. And you will see a number of things that I'm going to point out to you. Colonel Holt, who I had that collaboration period with for 7 years, he showed me where the initial landing site had been in the forest. This is the approximate area. He can't be more specific because 90% of all the trees that were originally in the forest were destroyed in a freak storm in
1987,
which was described almost as UK hurricane. And there is a very famous film clip by a weatherman who's looking at his weather boards and saying to the British public, some people are saying there's going to be a hurricane. And he laughed it off. The next day, 90% of the trees in that area were flattened. Hence why it always turns up on TV bleepers of mistakes.
Ja tosiaan säämies, miten nyt sanotaan, niin ei ollut ajatellut, että tästä tulee näin kova myrsky. Ja tosiaan, että kun siihen sitten tuli, niin siinä tuli tämmöinen joke, mitä löytyy klippejä netistä, nyt ei ihminen olla väärässä.
We're soon going to be talking about this area. This is the farmer's field.
Ja nyt kohta puhutaan sitä maanviljelijän pellosta tuolla alueella.
And it's the alleged scene of another landing, a more important landing. Okay. Remember when I said that the UFO came at high speed and shone a beam down at their feet? This is the approximate area where it came. And the object came from the sea. And you can see how close the sea is to this farmer's field. People talk about a farmhouse opposite the farmer's field, and it's just there, halfway along.
Lighthouse.
No, no.
Farmhouse.
Farmhouse.
Joo, siellä on myöskin tämmöinen maatila siinä lähtenä.
Okay, that plays a part in the story, and we'll come to that.
Sillä on myöskin tekemistä tämän tarinan kanssa.
Now, you can see a red arrow there going to the left, and it leads to a lighthouse called the Orford Ness Lighthouse. Okay, I've not included it on the picture because this is such a good view of the field and the aerial view. Okay, we'll talk about what some people have speculated as being the explanations. You'll see how ludicrous the explanations put forward were.
Mutta puhutaan niistä selityksistä, millä on koettu selittää pois sen avotapahtuman ja siitä, että tämä selityksen voi olla aika typeriä.
You remember that document that we just looked at, the whole memorandum, that one-page memorandum?
Ja kun äsken puhuttiin siitä muistiosta yhdellä sivulla kolme paragraafia.
This came about, its release came about because of a guy called Larry Warren.
Ja tosiaan nyt puhutaan Larry Warrenista.
who at the time was only 19 years old. And he was in the US Air Force Security Police, and it was his first posting. So if you remember, almost 3 years, the US Air Force denied any kind of written document. This guy, Larry Warren, when he worked with the newspaper, they then filed in another Freedom of Information request.
Ja tosiaan Yhdysvaltain ilmavoimat oli 3 vuotta kieltänyt tämän tapauksen, mutta sitten tutkimus oli eteenpäin sillä, että oli tehty Freedom of Information Request, eli tosiaan pyydettiin paljastamaan siihen asti salattua materiaalia tässä tapauksessa.
Well, this time when they put in the request, they put in something extra.
Ja tällä kertaa, kun tapaus oli uudelleen esille, niin nyt laittiin vähän lisää informaatiota.
They said we have a direct witness who's willing to be named. And then, hey presto, we then get the reveal of that memorandum.
Yeah.
Because of this guy. Put his name to it.
Joo, Larry Warren. Eli hänen todistajalla on tuossa asiasta saatiin julkiseksi sen muistio, mitä rahoit oli tehty.
Now, when the story broke in 1983, he was the only person, military, willing to speak about it. And that remained so for about 8 years, until about
1991.
Now, his story is an amazing story, and the question would be, was there any corroboration to it? Initially, there wasn't any corroboration. But his story sounds like science fiction. Because what he would say is, that he was on a minor perimeter post on the base. He gets a radio message saying, close your post down, a truck is going to pick you up. A few minutes later, a truck comes up with a few people in and he starts to get in. He's then driven from RAF Bentwaters towards RAF Woodbridge. And then he's taken onto a logging road into the forest, into Rindlesham Forest. The logging road only went so far into the forest. And there came a point where no vehicles could go any further. So basically all the vehicles had to stop, people would have to go out on foot. And he went out on foot with others into eventually that farmer's field. And when he got to the edge of the farmer's field, he noticed something very strange. The field was illuminated in a certain area. But there were no direct electrical lights. And what he saw was about 12 to 14 security police officers in a circle, approximately 50 to 60 feet wide, like sentry points all around an area of glowing mist. It sounds crazy. he said that the mist was about 18 inches off the ground. He was circular in shape. And it was glowing. He noticed to the right there were two cameras set up. One early video recorder, and they did exist in 1976. And the other was the standard cine film from our old film days. On a tripod. Filming the glowing mist, the soldiers all around it. He then says he hears somebody on the radio say, it's coming, the red light's coming. Now, up until this point, Larry Warren thought this was some kind of military exercise. Because nobody told him, he'd just been picked up. He then sees from the direction of the sea a small red light described as the size of a basketball. Now, anybody who's read a lot about UFOs will know that that's commonly seen, small objects, small spherical objects. So he says it came over from the direction of the North Sea. Remember the photograph? Comes over the trees, and the red light stops directly above the circular patch of glowing mist. A few seconds later, there is an explosion of light that blinds your eyes. And when your eyes adjust, where the mist had been, there was now a translucent craft. Kind of diamond shaped, about 35 feet in diameter, where the mist had been. You can't look at it direct because it distorts.
Pystyvät näkemään jotain sen valonäkemyksen jälkeen, niin siinä missä sumupallo oli ollut, niin siinä oli tämmöinen timantin muotoinen kohde, tämmöinen läpinäkyvä tai kuultava esine.
Now what's even strange is, so it sounds like a science fiction story, doesn't it? It does.
Joo, tämä kuulostaa vielä keskeinen.
We'll come to witnesses and corroborate it later on, but this is his initial story, so we've got to tell it in the right order.
Joo, eli myöhemminkin on jotain erityksiä, mikä tässä oli, mutta tämä on hänen kertomassa.
Larry Warren also said that there were two British policemen at the edge of the forest in black uniforms with the big hats. Stood just watching, as you would.
Joo, kun on paikalla oli joskin pari poliisia, jotka oli ihan kauempana sitä sen aukiolaidossa, ja oli ihan ennen kaikkea.
But it gets even more bizarre.
Because tämä menee vielä hullumaksi.
So when this translucent craft is shimmering and it's where this mist had been, surrounded by security policemen, two or three vehicles turn up nearby from the farmer's field, by the farmhouse. And a group of senior officers, U.S. Air Force senior officers, approach the cordon and this shimmering craft. And then it gets even more bizarre. So here I am, the base commander of 12,000 personnel. Base commander, the top man of 12,000 personnel. He walks into the field with other senior officers behind him. But he's the top man. And he walks towards, if this is the edge of the craft. He walks to about there. And then something even more strange happens.
Yeah.
It's corroborated later on. It's described, Larry Warren describes, no doors opening, no windows, but something slipped off the fabric of the surface of the craft. Akin to a bubble. Slipped from the craft. So the base commander is here. The bubble is there. The bubble then silently divides into three bubbles. One, two, three. It's a good science fiction, isn't it? And within each of these three bubbles was the upper torso of what we would call an alien grey. Something non-human. And Larry Warren would say that there was some kind of silent communication, because he's looking at them and they're looking at him. Now, as a detective, I look for evidence and corroboration. Does anybody else independently witness this event? Are there more witnesses? Because my job is to get evidence. Somebody just telling a story on its own is not enough when it's something fantastic like this. But here's something that you wouldn't normally associate with somebody who was making it up. At one point, Larry Warren describes seeing the three objects, the three bubbles that were floating. They're not walking, they're on the upper torso, and there was a, like a clothing, like some kind of a suit on, not suit as in this, but some kind of garment. And they're hovering there, base commander there, some kind of silent. Now, that sounds fantastic, but what if you were going to make something up, it's unlikely that you're going to make up what he said next. He said somebody trod on something in the forest, which was maybe only 50 metres away, like a broken branch in the forest.
Eikö metsästä kuulu ääni?
Joo, se sieltä niin kuin joku oksa pätkäs.
Joo, eli tosiaan kun tämä oli tapahtumassa, niin kolme kuplaa oli tämän komentajan edessä ja tämmöistä, niin metsästä päin kuului sellainen rasahdus siihen.
And it was like somebody threw on a log and it broken in half.
Joo, niin kuin joku isompi risun tai oksa askatellut kaikki.
Making a loud noise from the forest to his right.
Joo, se ääni kuuluu niin oikealta kääntäen tästä päin.
He said that as soon as that noise was heard, the three entities moved away to retreat back towards the craft in a defensive kind of posture. And then when he realized, when they realized there was no threat, they then kind of floated back out again. Now, if you were a hoaxer, hoaxers don't do that. They don't give you that level of minute detail. So another indicator that perhaps there was more to the story than what sounds like science fiction. So this is the guy. He was only in the Air Force for a year. He'd only arrived on twin bases around the 2nd or 3rd of December. So this was literally in his first few shifts at work. So wasn't he unlucky to get caught up in this? And incidentally, why he left the Air Force It was because of the incident traumatized him so much. Which kind of makes sense if you were trying to. Okay, so that's basically where we were up to 2017. So now I'm approached by this documentary team. Will you be the lead researcher? Okay.
Ooh,
I best be accurate here. So I thought I'm going to go back to day one after the incidents and see if I can find any old documents, re-interview witnesses, etc., etc.
Koska nyt tämä uusi dokumentti, jossa teollansa ja hän on päätutkija, niin hän haluaa palata siihen ensimmäiseen tilanteeseen, että löytäisikö muita uusia silminnäkijöitä ja niin edelleen.
Now bear in mind that this could easily be a 3 or 4 hour lecture in English, not 8 hours with double the
translation.
I've condensed it down to some of the major things that I found. There were many other things, but I've chosen the major things to tell you. Now, one of the first things that I did was speak to this guy here. These were an American guy called Ray Boucher. And he was a MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, in American, large American organization, I think the largest in the world. He was a very experienced researcher. So he, between 1984 and 1986, spent 3 years themselves researching the story. So they were before me.
American UFO-järjestössä MUFON, eli tämä on tosiaan päätyyppi, joka on tosiaan itse tutkinut Renassonin tapausta 3 vuotta, 84-86.
And through the beauty of social media, I was able to find him on Facebook. So I asked him, would he have a Skype interview so I could see him face to face? And he said yes. And the reason why I wanted to speak to him, because arguably they had done the best research that anybody had ever done. So here we are having our first conversation, and I say, Ray, thanks for agreeing to speak to me. We got chatting, we got on well, and I said, I don't suppose you've still got your research notes anywhere. This is 2018, from, and he's done his research 1984 to 1986. So over 20 years previous. And to my surprise, he said, yeah, I'll have them somewhere. And I'm thinking, what, 22 years earlier? You've still got your research notes? And I kind of thought, I said, well, if you can find them, great. Would you send them to me so I can go through? Because I told him what I was doing. Anyway, I'll do that. Now, I never expected him to find his research notes, because if somebody had said to me 22 years earlier, where's your research notes, I would have had them all together. But amazingly, he did. And after about 2 weeks, he sent me a PDF. And he had taken and scanned every page of his research for me. All 345 pages of his research in this one document. And I went, what? I was really excited. So I stayed up all night. I was that excited. And I just read it through. Looking for something new.
Ja koko yön ajan hän luki tosiaan tämän dokumentin läpi. Hän on kauhean innostunut.
And in amongst his research notes, I found some amazing things.
Ja siinä tutkimuksessa oli...
Ja siinä asioissa, mitä se ei